whenever there's a job or task to do. It doesn't mean for somebody who is 90 years old and has a hard time standing, pressure is getting up out of the chair. For somebody else, oh, pressure is giving a speech in front of the CEO and the executive team. So you get as much energy, right? Pressure comes into the system in the amount needed to do the job.
Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Today is an interesting day for me. I'm in a new space after, oh my gosh, like 3.5 years. I moved my office yesterday on the full moon. And this is my first guest in the new space, bringing some new energy and a new vibe. I was open to the change. And so let me share who's with us today. Amy Bernstein, president of Open Mind Adventures, is a professional and personal coach, organizational consultant, psychotherapist, and mindfulness in action trainer. Her work liberates individuals and teams from limited mindsets, behaviors, and energy habits, enabling them to unleash their potential and successfully navigate disruptive times. Amy's clients have included senior and emerging leaders from such companies as Chanel, Microsoft, and the Ritz-Carlton, as well as artists, coaches, nonprofit leaders, and entrepreneurs. During the pandemic, Amy founded The Roar of the More. We're going to talk about that today, a virtual interactive mind-body energy coaching and training series. The program not only helps you clarify who you are becoming and what is holding you back, it guides you in embodying an upgraded, more conscious version of who you are. The series is based on the energy principles and practices of Aikido, psychology, and meditative arts. Amy is a thought leader and a keynote speaker in stress reduction. Her book, Stress Less, Achieve More, Simple Ways to Turn Pressure into a Positive Force in Your Life, was voted one of 17 inspiring books to read by Thrive Global in 2017, and it's available in English, Mandarin, and Arabic. She's also been listed in Who's Who in American Women. I asked Amy to join us today because I met her through the Edgewalker community, and I'm really interested for all of us in the Create Magic at Work community to hear how we can turn pressure into a positive force in our life. We're going to get into that also. So Amy, welcome to Create Magic at Work.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued that you're here because we haven't talked about some of these topics on the show yet. So I'm excited about that. Before we get started, is there anything else you want to tell the community or the listeners about yourself?
Yeah, my life was changed when I was in my 20s by meeting a master Aikido teacher who taught me these energy principles and practices. His name is Robert Nadeau. And he wasn't just interested in Aikido, a martial art. He was teaching how the human system aligns to the universal system. He had the ability to shift dimensions and take his students with him. So I would have experiences that, you know, coming out of the Bronx, I said, this couldn't be. This is woo-woo. This isn't real. But I had so many experiences that my whole perception of who I was or who I am and how I move through life shifted dramatically. So I am fascinated with that work, and I'm very glad to share it with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about that. That's very interesting that you had that moment in your 20s. Yeah, that's incredible because some people that I think, according to the adult development theory, of course, we're human and there's all general, you know, I'm generalizing right now. A lot of people don't have these moments where they sense this deeper sense of meaning in life, or perhaps the real experience of connecting with a higher power or higher self until maybe their mid to early 30s. It's kind of a cool thing that that occurred when you were in your 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had had experiences as a little girl with my guardian angel, and I kind of poo-pooed it, saying, oh, this is my imagination. And then the next week, I had the similar experience with her. So, or it, you know. So I always had a sense that there was something guiding me, something protecting me, taking care of me, because that was her message to me. So, and I have found that to be true in life. The more I am in contact with myself, rather than losing my attention in other people or the news or whatever it is, you know, and bring it back into myself, the more that that is true, that in some way that I am protected and guided and all of that. And that has been very important to me in terms of my work with major corporations, you know, because it's taught me how to navigate these disruptive times.
Yeah, really interesting that you work in the corporate space with this. I love just like highlighting and amplifying like to everyone, like, hey, this stuff is in the corporate space and people are using it. One of the things that you mentioned that you felt really guided by or a connection with, you know, your guardian angel, and you're kind of referencing talking about getting out of your head, as you say, and into your mind, body, energy field. So for everyone listening, can you describe what does that mean for those of us? I mean, think about it. We're talking to everybody that are leaders in the workplace, right? Big part of the Create Magic at Work community. I mean, I feel like we're in our head a lot of times in the day. We're trying to make sales, or we're trying to hit numbers, or we're working in HR. We're going to work. We're coming home. We're, you know, trying to pay the bills and get everything done. So for somebody that's like, hey, Amy, I'm just trying to make it through the day. Yeah. How can you frame that?
Yeah. To, you know, to be human, to be in your head. Most of us are in our heads. And even the great teachers, they're in their heads sometimes, you know. It's a practice of going from the head into the mind body. So think of it this way. Here's a metaphor. Mind, imagine we're like an apartment building. The mind is like the penthouse. You have great vision. You can see things. You might have wonderful thoughts, all that. Great. You see a woman walking down the street. You see her clothes, blue outfit she's wearing. You know, you see her pass by a guy. But what you don't see is that little click that happens when that flirtation thing happens between two people. You don't see it. You don't sense it. See, as long as you're in your head, you've cut yourself off from your other perceptions, from your emotions, your feelings, your sensations, and your intuition. So what you need to do is you need to take the elevator down from the penthouse, down through the body, down into your feet, into the ground. And it's when you go into the ground, it's like a tree. In the hurricane force winds, the tree with the biggest root system is the one that's going to survive, right? Now, most meditation people say to you, take a breath, relax. That drives me crazy. Because for people who are in their head, that has no meaning. They mean well, you know, the meditation teaches, but they... So what we need to do is we need to find ways to move from the head into the mind body. You know, until you practice it, you can't just shift, boom. So, you know, what I do is I give people dumb little practices. You're in your head? Okay. First, you have to know where you are. You have to recognize that you're in your head. Okay. No shame, no blame, no stories. I'm in my head. Okay. Now, shift down into your chin. Sense, feel your chin. Open your mouth a little bit. Sense, feel into your chin. Oh, like you have a heavy beard. You don't have to open it big. Just like a heavy beard. And if, as you sense, feel it, you'll start noticing that your attention's now in your chin. You've now moved from your head into your chin. Now, take a breath. But as we take a breath, your inhale goes up the spine and then let it out your mouth. And as it goes down, keep tracking that breath. And when I say tracking it, not with your head, but in terms of feeling the breath and see where it stops. Wherever it stops, whether it's in your chest, your lower belly, your legs, wherever it stops, great. Okay. Now take another breath. And from wherever it stopped, sense, feel it going down the rest of your body. And the more you begin to practice that, after a while, it becomes like a waterfall. So I use the words I've learned from my teacher, settle. So that experience of the energy coming down and the word settle have become imprinted in my nervous system. So now I can say settle, mm-hmm. and it happens fast.
Thank you for doing that live with all of us. I literally felt I was doing it while you were sharing, and I hope everybody else was too, if they were in a place they could. And I have really felt like the settling. I felt the breath kind of stopping around my heart area, and then I felt it going all the way down. And we have this recorded now, so everyone listening can hit rewind and go back and go through it. I often find, like you were saying before, where someone just says, oh, just breathe. It's like, I don't have time to breathe. I'm so like, what? Like, I can't stop and breathe. And often, personally, if I have someone helping me facilitate the breathing, that's when it's very helpful for me. And so anyone listening that just needs to feel a little calmer or feel the water settle, hit rewind here and re-listen to that, because now Amy just did it live for you to walk with you through that. That was incredible. I felt a shift right when we were doing it.
I'm glad you felt it. And, you know, just so your audience knows, because a lot of people, I mean, most people don't really feel the breath coming all the way down, right? So they're not grounded. So any little stress or pressure, now they're back in their heads again trying to figure it out.
I'm curious for you to share how this translates into the corporate world. You mentioned that you've worked with Chanel, Microsoft, Ritz-Carlton. What are some of the, for maybe those listening that's like, oh, this isn't for my company. Maybe for somebody listening that's like, oh, I work in such a toxic workplace. I really wish my boss could hear this episode. What are some ways that companies and organizations are incorporating this into their teams?
Yeah. First, I want to say that no matter how smart, how skilled, or how experienced you are, it's not enough to skillfully navigate these disruptive times. You know, the U.S. Army calls this volatile, uncertain, VUCA, right? Volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous. Those are the times that we're in. So a lot of the leaders, you know, have had experience. They want to take their old remedies and stick it on the new situations. It doesn't work. So what I did, I was very fortunate to have met a senior vice president at Chanel, who was initially not open to this stuff, but went home. I did a little energy experience with him. He went home and he said, she knows something I don't. Okay, I'm going to go with her. You know. And over the course of 6 years, we worked together. He was a very special man. And so what I did, some of the things that we did in the team was, you know, they would run from meeting to meeting, the senior team. So I gave them a little practice.
Yeah. And it's good to hear what companies are doing and that they are doing these things. This is truly what leadership presence is. So there's a lot of misconceptions at times in the workplace as to what leadership presence is. Is it, you know, the old stereotype of the sharp dressed man, right? The person that looks really good, that we can often misconstrue confidence with competence, or, you know, somebody that looks really polished, we can misconstrue that with competence. And truly, leadership presence at the highest level is someone that is expanding, getting out of their themselves, their ego, if you will, right? and tapping into their higher self to expand that higher self energy out to the room and help everybody feel like they're included and a part of something bigger than themselves. So this is like a live exercise that you can do to tap into leadership presence at a high level. That's just my framing of it. I want to get into one thing that you mentioned earlier, and I want to talk about this. I was excited to ask you about this all week or till we record. We had a conversation about pressure. I've seen pressure a lot in the corporate space. In my old corporate executive job, I was in sales quotas, you know, every month. It was very high pressure situation. And in those situations, pressure was supported as a good thing. Let's put pressure, make this happen, hit your goals. We've also heard how, I'm going to botch this saying, but the saying that, you know, pressure produces diamonds, right? Turns a lump of coal into a diamond. I've also seen the pendulum swing in other leadership rooms completely to the opposite side, where they're trying to course correct for this overwhelming pressure situations where it's like, we're not going to have any pressure in organization. We're going to let everything flow. And and I think that's like a overly course correction. I'm saying the really wrong grammar today, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. So based off that, me talking about how I think the pendulum has swung crazily a little bit too much to where some spaces are like, no pressure, like let everything flow, like things will just come, because they're course correcting for these spaces that like really were toxic, right? That really crushed the soul. I started having this conversation with you about pressure, and you were like, oh, you can turn pressure into amazing things. Like you can take that pressure and you can have amazing things happen. And I was like, I leaned forward. I was like, wait, what? I need to hear more about this. So for everybody listening, because I don't think we can eradicate feeling pressure in the workplace. Like I feel pressure every day in some way, shape, or form with my business. What do you say to us? And how do we take that pressure and make magic from it?
Yeah. The first thing I want to do is define pressure, right? Pressure is not stress. Pressure is the energy of change. Pressure is the energy of change coming into your system to help you do the job or task. So there's a universal law that says it comes in when there's a job or task to do, energy comes into your system in the amount needed to do the job or task, right? If you close down.
Sorry, Amy, say that again. I want to hear that one more time. Yeah. Like that was so powerful. Pressure comes into your system.
Yes. Whenever there's a job or a task to do, it doesn't mean for somebody who is 90 years old and has a hard time standing, pressure is getting up out of the chair. For somebody else, pressure is giving a speech in front of the CEO and the executive team. So you get as much energy, right? Pressure comes into the system in the amount needed to do the job. Now, if you close down to it and you resist it, you push with your will, you know, you're going to make it happen. You may get the results, but you're going to burn yourself out, right? And your performance isn't going to be as great. If you collapse under it, it always happens to me. Why is this always happening? And you become the victim of it. You're closing to it. You're not using its gift. If you go into your head and start to think about it, abstract thinking, I'll figure it out. If you make believe that it's not there, you're going to end up with a lot of stress in your body and get disease, you know? So what you want to do is you want to welcome it. You want to open and align to it. And when you do, you will experience high performance, aliveness, and a sense of wellness that comes over you, joy. That's when you can step into the flow. So what you were saying before about companies saying, oh, no pressure. Oh, man, if you don't have any pressure, your performance is going to be lousy. You know, you need pressure in your tire. You just don't want it stressed.
So if I'm feeling pressure, the key is to welcome it and sit with it and then see where it takes me.
Yeah, what you want to do. See, here is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Perception you want to use is your sensing, not your head, not your feelings, your emotions. Oh, it makes me sad. It makes me angry. Why is it? None of that. You want to sense it. See, here's this energy. You want to welcome it. It's part of the universal life force. It's coming into your system. At first, it feels like pressure. I'm making this up. You're a 20 volt person. Whatever that means. You're a 20 volt person. You could handle 20 volts in your day to day. You do a great job. Oh, you're a great saleswoman. You know, 20 volts. Okay. Now, here comes a job that requires 50 volts. All of a sudden, there's 50 volts knocking on your door. You're going to feel really pressured. Okay. What I want you to do is to sense that, breathe into it. Yes, and open to it. Okay, come on in. Yay. Expand with it. You want to be centered, rounded, and you want to open and expand with it. That pressure is moving you from the 20-volt person to the 50-volt person, the higher, what you call higher self. I don't use those words, but I understand what you're saying. It's a finer version of yourself, which does have more of your soul energy in it. But yeah, you want to open to it. Okay. So I'll tell you a little story, dumb little story. I used to be a singer. So I was practicing Aikido, and they had these retreats, Aikido retreats. And they asked me to sing at the Aikido retreat. So I was going to sing The Rose by Bette Midler, for those of you who know. And I practiced it and I practiced it. I had it down. I mean, I knew it, right? I go to perform it. I start to perform it. And, you know, the pitch was right. I had the words, but it's coming through in a way that I never practiced it. And I'm scared. I'm losing control. And I can't call a do-over. I'm in the middle of a performance, right? So what I have to do is just trust it and just keep singing and allow it. At the end of my performance, my Aikido teacher runs over to the stage, picks me up, and like, yay, you know, hugs me. Because what happened was I entered the flow, and my ego, my past experience, was going, what's that? What's that? But because I allowed myself to continue in the flow, he saw that. And my performance was excellent. I didn't know that, right? What happens is as you let go of trying to control, I say to people, control begins when you give it up. That's when you get it. When you give it up and enter that flow and have that trust, high performance happens. Things happen. Opportunities knock on your door. I used to live in a community that was on a lake. And one of the homeowners complained that they couldn't see the water because the weeds were growing very high. So the community, in all its brilliance, chopped down the weeds. Results okay, right? Everything, the problem solved. No, because then what happened is the snakes started to come onto the property because that was their domain. So what they did was they got a trapper to come and get rid of the snakes. Problem solved, right? No, because then the rats came, which used to eat the snakes, right? They didn't have the food. They came back on the property. What happens is when you make everything is in energy flow. So when you make your decisions, and I shared this with my corporate clients, when you make a decision, you need to see the ripple effects of your decision, right? You know, and as you make the ripple effects, oh, okay, we decided this is great for our division. Yes. And how does it affect other divisions? Yes. And how will it affect the customers? Yes, and how will it affect our brand? Yes, and whatever it is, keep playing it out, because that's the energy field as it expands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. We talk a lot on Create Magic at Work for the past 2 years about quantum leadership and what it means to be a quantum leader. And a big part of being a quantum leader is understanding the decisions you make and how they impact not only your customers or your clients or your shareholders, but your communities, and then rippling out to the effect on the planet and then humanity itself, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a great story, just kind of illustrating what not doing yes and can happen. And also, just as a fun exercise at work, taking it all the way out. How far can we take this yes and? How far can we take where this ripple will hit from where we can perceive it? And just playing with that in a meeting or with a decision to amplify your effective decision-making. Yes. A really, really cool way to illustrate that. Since we are talking about quantum leadership and decision-making, we had a conversation, and this before I pull a card for everyone today, you mentioned to me offline, so I'm bringing it online or, in a private conversation, that you had a very strong feeling that women in particular were going to be leading us into a new world. Can you expand on that thought or what you meant by that?
Yeah. The first thing I want to say is that it's my sense that the consciousness of the world is changing. Consciousness is energy. Energy has a frequency. As consciousness shifts, evolves, the frequency speeds up in order to break down the old for the new to be born. Clearly, if you read the news or whatever, we're in a period of breakdown, divisiveness, wars, whatever. So here we are going into this new world. What we need, as far as I'm concerned, is more compassion, more equity, more of the, we have been living in a male-dominated world. Now, there are qualities of the male that are extremely important that women need to embody. And there are qualities of the female that the male needs to embody. So right now, what we're trying to do is to find a deeper, finer center where the male and the female energies come together in order to birth this new. My sense right now is that we need more female leaders to come through to help us break into this new world where it's more compassionate, more equitable, fairer, more loving, more peaceful, all of this. So my interest these days, I've been doing my Roar of the More, but my interest also, I had the first women's development company in San Francisco in the 1980s to help them break through the glass ceiling. Now, yes, they got through the glass ceiling, but it's still not equitable. Women don't make as much money as men, even if their skill set is better. And as Sean Harvey, I know you had him on your podcast, says, yeah. Okay, men have an easier time. They go for learning skills, but they're not as open to learning personal development, right? That's where the women come in. Right. And if you're in an organization where there is more of that compassion, more of that positive flow, you're going to feel it. You're going to be affected by it in a good way. So my sense is women right now have to come forth. And in order for them to do that, they need to expand their leadership presence. They need to know how to master their energy. Because, they're not just at work. They're also maybe taking care of the babies or cooking the meals or whatever they're doing elsewhere, taking care of their parents, They need to be able to handle that pressure of that increased job and to know how to navigate change and influence the politics of organizations. They need to bring a new level of wellness into an organization.
You're spot on. I feel like you're spot on with everything you're saying, right? There's some posts. I play around on Instagram a lot. And there's some posts that I saw from somebody that showed, I think it was Boeing and all the trouble they've been going through in the media right now, unfortunately. But then they put a woman CEO in place to help, you know, fix the issues. Yeah. And somebody posted on Instagram, and I'll find it, but it was like, oh, textbook move, company in complete trouble. And then they put the woman CEO in place to clean it up. And like, yeah, I just found it. Thank you, universe. Boeing just pulled a classic corporate America move and promoted a woman to clean up its mess.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So, and that this is what they're now calling, it's beyond the glass ceiling that you innovated, right, in San Francisco back in the 80s. They're now calling this pattern, researchers have dubbed it the glass cliff.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah. So as they're seeing this happen with women, as companies confront, you know, issues or complaints or problems, there's a pattern emerging where they will, in times of crisis, male-led companies often pick women and people of color to try to right the ship. And it's called the glass cliff. So that's kind of like what's on the edge right now, or what's on the horizon. And this is a quote from Sally Krawcheck, who's the CEO of Elvest. She says, it's not that women are unable to lead, but leading in a time of crisis is more difficult and more precarious than leading when everything is great. Yeah. And there, so something for everyone to think about. I'm going to pull a card for you from the Create Magic at Work journal prompt card deck that you can find on createmagicatwork.net in the shop. And I was like shuffling through the deck as you were sharing to see if it would like pick up like some good, you know, some energy that everyone listening needs to hear. And so the message today, no matter when you're hearing this, is we got a reward. And there's a little illustration of a bubble bath on there. And the affirmation is, I take time to reward myself for the work that I accomplished. I think that's really fitting since we were talking about pressure in a good way and taking it to elevate yourself to that 50-volt person from the 25-volt person and everything that you've shared and all your wisdom. So question for you, Amy, for everyone listening, what are some ways that you would offer maybe some newer ideas that we can reward ourselves for work that we've accomplished, really taking that pause instead of just like moving on to trying to achieve the next goal?
Yeah. One of the things I would say is treat yourself like a loving mother. So when you, whether you accomplish the goal, whether you have a setback or failure, to go, hey, you know, good job. If you accomplish it, hey, great. Good for you. You know, if you didn't, it's okay, honey, because now you learned some stuff in order to move forward. You know, good. I'm proud of you. Right. So I would say first thing is to love yourself, not with your ego and not your smaller self with a small s, yourself with a capital S, your essence. You're perfect the way you are. You know, that essence is perfect. And we're so used to looking at our smaller selves and, oh, am I smart enough? Am I winning enough? Am I making enough money? Am I pretty enough? Am I, you know, that we forget our essence. So the first thing is to remember that essence and to love it, to talk to it. So that's the first thing I suggest people do.
That's a good one, because I think we think of reward as like, let me go to a fancy dinner and celebrate, or let me go get a massage. But I think if it starts with your advice, that's where we're really going to feel inner peace and fulfillment moving forward.
It builds on each other. See, I love to go out and get a new dress or a new pair of pants or whatever it is, a new Nikes or whatever, you know, yeah, hey. But you know what? A week, 2 weeks later, I've forgotten it. It doesn't turn me on anymore. I just, you know, it's just another piece of clothing, another dinner. Yep. You know, hey, you know how many dinners I've had that were good, you know? But when you start rewarding your essence by acknowledging it, you know, it begins to build on it and you begin to have a greater relationship with yourself. Now what I do is when I meditate and say I'm having an issue. I'll say to myself, I'll cool myself out. I'm meditating. Yes, I'm in my body. And now I'll ask the question of myself, what guidance can you give me to deal with ABC, whatever my problem is or my issue is? Okay. And then I shut up and I just hang out. And oftentimes I'll get some idea or some, call her or whatever it is, you know? So as you build that relationship, things begin to open for you and you begin to magnetize, because the version of self that you're used to, right, as you get closer to the finer version of yourself, it affects everything in your life, your physical, you know, your success, your everything. So create a relationship with yourself and love it.
Yeah. Amy, thank you so much for being a guest on Create Magic at Work and sharing all of these generous insights and all of your wisdom that you've gained along your journey with everyone. If people want to connect with you and, you know, see what you have going on, how can they reach out and connect with you to learn more?
Yeah, I would say go to my website, www.openmindadventures.com. And I want people to know, you know, you can have a book a discovery call for 20-minute free coaching, or you can look at my Roar of the Moor training series, which is an 8-week series. It's an evolving leader to evolve the consciousness of leaders, mind, body, energy, mastery, right? And we do things like enhance self-awareness with Enneagram and NLP and, you know, transitions. Awesome. And then we bring them into the energy thing to have experience of how do you return to center? How do you ground yourself? How do you open and become spacious? And then finally, at the end, I teach you how to shift into that finer version of yourself in minutes. Minutes. I never coach anyone, do a presentation, do anything, go to the dentist without doing that shift into a finer version of myself, you know? So if you're interested in any of this, please contact me. No charge. We'll just talk.
Love it. Yeah, we'll put all that in the show notes. So thank you so much again for being a guest. And thank you for sending some magic to everyone today.
Thank you. Bye, Amy.
Bye. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming back every week to listen to a new episode of Create Magic at Work and really helping to support and advocate for healthy leaders, workplaces, and lives for all of us. If you want any information on how to connect with me, click on the link in the show notes. You'll get access to all of the social media links for Create Magic at Work. Stay following along for more amazing episodes where we help you improve productivity and profitability in the workplace and decrease stress. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.